The human body, the carrier of the soul, heart and mind, is, to my way of thinking, the most important site of conflict on earth. It is the site upon which a judge, jury and executioner all perform their roles. Roles that, if carried out according to humane, just and moral principles, allow us to live without fear and to enjoy freedom, hope and liberty. At the moment, I'm thinking of two bodies, those of David Hicks, and Muhammad Hanif. These two men embody the political battle being fought out in order to win our hearts and minds as the ruling classes struggle among themselves to gain the right to rule us. Hicks, after suffering at the hands of the US military and contract interrogators, was finally broken by them and admitted to so-called crimes which were specifically written into the US law books to ensure his guilt. Our government supported this process, even though every reasonable legal expert condemned it as unjust, unfair, and of dubious legal standing. Hanif now suffers the indignity of being subject to a presumption of guilt promoted by the innuendo and rhetoric spewing out of the mouths of politicians and policemen. Having nothing to hold him on, a judge recommends his release on bail. This is not good enough for a government falling to pieces on top of its own lies and deceit, and in response, the highest office in the land decides to step in over the top of the judiciary and implement its own justice in the name of national security. In the bodies of these two men, we find a range of signifiers that are deployed by the powerful to raise questions, pose dilemmas, and which provide a suitable basis on which to enact their unjust and inhumane causes. Now, with the Howard government and a complicit and weak opposition supporting their every move, Hanif has become the latest site of political deception and skullduggery. The body of Muhammad Hanif has not been as clearly seen as that of David Hicks. With Hicks, we had images of him holding a bazooka and rifle. We had photos of him as a boy and a young man with a grin on his face. He was blonde, cute and innocent. Quite often he was described as a typical Aussie bloke who, his father said, got into something he should not have. Muhammad Hanif, on the other hand, is represented in the media either through a grainy photo, an artist's sketch, or a blurred image in a telephoto lens. However, we have seen pictures of his wife and child. What makes this family stand out is their skin colour. In short, it was hard for the government to prevent a societal backlash against their treatment of Hicks because he was white, working class, and pretty much like the rest of us. In the case of Hanif and his family, they are black, Indian, and therefore others. It is these others the Howard government has spent the last 7 years vilifying, racializing, and telling us that we don't want people like that here. By all accounts, Hanif has been an upstanding temporary resident. He has been a diligent and hard worker. He has kept out of trouble and was applying himself to his chosen profession. It would seem from the reports that he was trying to achieve the dream of raising his family out of their current circumstances and provide a better life for them. The media images of his wife and newborn child half a world away may raise questions about the government and police treatment of him and, by extension, his family. In the response to the potential for the images of his young family to stir up maternalistic feelings towards this supporter of terrorism, we find that the so-called leaked interview transcript is now being claimed to have some almost magical power in the case. I heard Mick Kilty on the radio trying to explain what this leak may mean. In his efforts on the ABC's World Today program, he came across as someone desperate to paint not only Hanif as criminal, but also his legal team and anyone else who has had an association with him. It would seem that locking the body up is not enough nowadays. Those who handle the body must also be expunged from the public gaze. The Howard government has the scent of blood in its collective nostrils. Like the hounds so cruelly sent to chase the fox to death, Howard, the complicit Labour Party, and the mainstream media are chasing the body of Hanif and will not be satisfied until it is drained of all will, hope and life, figuratively speaking, I hope. Hanif's body has now surpassed that of David Hicks as the most public body in Australia. Given the deficits that this body supposedly represents, the political spin doctors on both sides are now advising their clients to avoid any references that might cause sympathy or empathy with it. Let's not forget the directive that came out of the advisers' offices during the so-called Children Overboard affair, recommending that any language that might humanise the victims of our government's policies should be avoided. Stripped of dignity, the presumption of innocence, and with all the mainstream political and media structures looming above you, I ask, if you were in Mohammed Hanif's position, what would you do? Or better still, if you were in Kevin Rudd's shoes, what would you do? We all know what Rudd is doing, putting on his best John Howard-like persona and not touching this issue with the figurative barge pole. Some leader he'll make, not. Hanif is now in a situation beyond his own comprehension. Indeed, it would seem the government is rewriting the rules so that he, or anyone else the government feels it is necessary to arraign, is now beyond the reach of justice. The government is moving into dangerous territory. Wasn't it the Howard government that wanted to invade Iraq to free the people from a tyrant with no regard for the rule of law? Wasn't it the Howard government that supported the illegal detention of David Hicks, arguing that it was a process of law that he had to undergo? Wasn't it the Howard government who signed off on the AWB contracts that fed $300 million straight into Saddam's coffers? These are important questions to answer, because in attempting to address them, we find we begin to understand the importance of bodies. Hanif was never photographed playing with guns like the top executives of AWB were. Hanif was never on the police radar until a tenuous link was made. Hanif was living according to the laws of our land, something our rulers are not content to allow him to do. Our bodies are the most important sites of conflict on the planet. It is with them we signal our belonging to certain groups, faiths, movements, oppositions and battles. In them and on them we carry the scars of our life journey, and with them we gain access or are denied access to justice, peace and human kindness. Mohammed Hanif and David Hicks, two different men whose bodies now signify two different conflicts, are no less people than we are. Their bodies, like ours, however, are expendable in the power plays that dominate politics and money. What I also find interesting about the case of Mohammed Hanif was its timing. Just as we were being inundated with the images of the black bodies of our Indigenous brothers and sisters, and they were bearing the brunt of Howard's racism, a switch to a body that is not Indigenous seems timely. After all, it did become apparent that Howard's latest plot to further disenfranchise our black population had more than a hint of racism attached. The distraction of Hanif provided a timely refocus on someone else who is a little removed from our home. The body we have expresses all that goes on inside us. It is the connection our spiritual and moral being has with the physical world. It is the interface between the eternal and the temporal. Perhaps the question for us, when reflecting on Mohammed Hanif and David Hicks' story is, will my body, or others like it, one day fall victim to a government that disregards the rule of law and puts itself above all moral, legal and humane principles as judge, jury and executioner? I'm Shane Elson. This is the Public First Programme.